Hi, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying our haunting episodes of The Grave Talks, I invite you to check out our true crime and disaster podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of Dark Side of Wikipedia. When residents of a small town decide to take the law into their own hands and publicly execute the town bully, one would assume consequences would ensue. Not so for the small community of Skidmore, Missouri. This is a town where a murder took place that no one saw or heard, yet more than half the town watched it take place. A dark act that would start a slippery slope that would lead to the demise of the town.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Skidmore is a city in Nottoway County, Missouri. The population was 284 as of the 2010 census. The small farming community had a yearly pumpkin show until 2004. The Skidmore area was first settled in 1840 by William Bunting. Shortly after the plate purchase opened the area to settlement, Skidmore itself was plated in 1880 when M. Skidmore donated 20 acres to the Nottoway Valley Railroad Company, the agent for the Kansas City, St. Joseph, and Council Bluffs Railroad, which was eventually taken over by the Burlington Northern Railroad. The railroad no longer operates. The St. Oswald's Protestant Episcopal Church was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1992. On July 10th, 1981, Ken McElroy was shot to death with at least two different guns while sitting in his truck in front of the pool hall in town. Though dozens of people saw the event, all denied seeing anything that would help identify the shooters. McElroy had a reputation as a town bully, and he had fended off over 20 charges for acts of theft, rape, and other violence, often by means of witness intimidation. In the months before his death, he was appealing a light sentence for shooting a 70-year-old grocer in the neck. Town residents had been upset over the inability of the courts to deal with him. Author Harry N. McLean recounted the incident and its background in a best-selling and award-winning book, In Broad Daylight. In 1991, the incident was portrayed in the made-for-TV movie starring Brian Dennehy and Cloris Leachman. The Ken McElroy shooting was also the focus of the A&E Network program City Confidential Season 2, Episode 22, titled Skidmore, Frontier Justice. On December 16, 2004, Skidmore was once again the focus of national attention when Bobby Joe Stinnett, a relative of Branson Perry, was murdered and had her unborn baby cut from her womb. The baby, Victoria Jo Stinnett, was found alive 2 days later in Topeka, Kansas. The killer, Lisa Montgomery, received a federal death sentence and was executed early in the morning on January 13th, 2021, at a federal prison in Terre Haute, Indiana. So this is, of course, the Dark Side of Wikipedia. Welcome, everybody. If you like our program, you want to get advanced episodes of the show in their entirety, commercial-free, and our final chapter segments, go to patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. $5 a month gets you all that and helps keep our program on the air. So please do that and press subscribe wherever you are listening to this right now so you don't miss any of our episodes. It's Tony and Sean with you today. Have you heard of Skidmore before?
I haven't, but man, after listening to this information, come on, kids, let's hop in the caravan and head on down to this magical place.
Exactly. I just finished watching like a 5-part documentary on it. I think it's on Sundance right now. It's all about Skidmore and about really the thing that put it on the map, if you will, was the Ken Rex McElroy killing, which was the inspiration for In Broad Daylight. I mean, essentially, this guy really did terrorize the town. Now, I'm not saying that vigilante justice is the right thing to do in all cases, but this guy was doing horrible shit around this town. And the court system as shitty as it is, was really shitty for these people. This guy just kept getting off left and right, and he kept coming back to town, and he kept doing whatever he wanted. There's a lot of me that's like, yeah, I don't blame them for what they did. But at the same point, it's like, it really kind of sets the bar, I guess, that much lower for a town. I mean, once you do something like that, you execute the person just, you know, by vigilante justice, and half the town is in on it. You really kind of went over a line that's going to be hard to come back from. You know, you may think, oh, it's going to be great and wonderful now, but you just did something that now you did that. Well, maybe one of you could do this too if somebody's acting up, and shit can go downhill really quick.
Well, once you, like you say, you break that line, and there's really no turning back. Yep. Because if you looked to those that are supposed to help and protect and do good and put away the bad guys, and that is not happening, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, the guy fucking shot a 70-year-old grocer in the neck, and he's still running around town. They let him out. And they're waiting for his... This is like how horrible this human being was. So it's like, okay, he's not a good guy. Right, wrong, I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes if you're in that situation and you got kids in that town and this guy is harassing them and doing, you know, there's just so much. It's like, got to do what you got to do at some point. And
later in life, I didn't know that almost like you're living in a real life low budget TBS Halloween film.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's I think that's the interesting part of life as we get older. It's like, wow, life really is a low budget TBS Halloween film.
How the fuck do I change the channel of my life?
Exactly.
I want to go to TLC.
Exactly. There's just so much of it. But then you go to TLC and it's like suddenly my 600-pound life. And it's like, God damn it, I got to eat more salads. You know?
Wait. Let me go to the Home and Garden Channel Network.
Yeah. No more shiplap, please. Continuing into the story, we'll do the... this is really divided into the stories of Ken, Rex, McElroy, and some of the other individuals who have made impact on the town. This is now into the Rex McElroy area. He was a resident of Skidmore, Missouri, known as the town bully. McElroy's unsolved killing became the focus of international attention. Over the course of his life, McElroy was accused of dozens of felonies, including assault, child molestation, statutory rape, arson, animal cruelty, hog and cattle rustling, and burglary. In all, he was indicted 21 times but escaped conviction each time except for the last. In 1981, McElroy was convicted of shooting and seriously injuring the town's 70-year-old grocer, Ernest Bo Bowenkamp. McElroy successfully appealed the conviction and was released on bond, after which he engaged in an ongoing harassment campaign against Bowenkamp and others who were sympathetic to Bowenkamp, including the town's Church of Christ minister. He appeared in a local bar, the DNG Tavern, armed with an M1 Grand rifle and bayonet, and later threatened to kill Bowenkamp. The next day, McElroy was shot to death in broad daylight as he sat with his wife, Trina, in his pickup truck on Skidmore's Main Street. He was struck by bullets from at least two different firearms in front of a crowd of people estimated between 30 and 46. To date, no one has been charged in connection with McElroy's death. McElroy was born in 1934, the 15th of 16 children, born to a poor migrant tenant farming couple named Tony and Mabel. McElroy, who had moved between Kansas and the Ozarks before settling outside of Skidmore, dropped out of school at the age of 15 in the eighth grade and quickly established a local reputation as a cattle rustler, small-time thief, and womanizer. For more than two decades, McElroy was suspected of being involved in theft of grain, gasoline, alcohol, antiques, and livestock, but he avoided conviction when charges were brought against him 21 times. Often after witnesses refused to testify because he allegedly intimidated them, frequently by following his targets or parking outside their homes and watching them. He was represented by defense attorney Richard Gene McFadden of Gatlin, Missouri. McElroy fathered more than 10 children with different women. He met his last wife, Trina McLeod, when she was 12 years old and in eighth grade. He statutorily raped McLeod repeatedly, also burning her house down and shooting the family dog before her parents rented and agreed to their marriage, or relented and agreed to their marriage. She became pregnant when she was 14, dropped out of school in the ninth grade, and went to live with McElroy and his second wife, Alice. McElroy divorced Alice and married Trina in order to escape charges of statutory rape, to which she was the only witness. 16 days after Trina gave birth, both she and Alice fled to Trina's mother and stepfather's house. According to court records, McElroy tracked them down and brought them back. He then returned to Trina's parents' home when they were away and once again shot the family dog and burned the house down. Events prior to his killing, based on Trina's story, McElroy was indicted in June 1973 for arson, assault, and statutory rape. He was arrested, booked, arraigned, and released on $2,500 bail. Trina and her baby were placed in foster care at a home in Maryville, Missouri. McElroy sat outside the foster home for hours at a time, staring at it. He told the foster family that he would trade girl for girl to get his child back, since he knew where the foster family's biological daughter went to school and what bus route she rode. Additional charges were filed against McElroy. On July 27, 1976, Skidmore farmer Romaine Henry said McElroy shot him twice with a shotgun after Henry challenged him for shooting weapons on Henry's property. McElroy was charged with assault with intent to kill. McElroy denied he was at the scene. As the case dragged on without a court date, Henry and McElroy had parked outside his home at least 100 times. At the trial, two raccoon hunters testified they were with McElroy the day of the shooting, away from Henry's property. Henry was forced to admit in court, under questioning by McElroy's attorney, Richard Gene McFadden, that he had concealed his own petty criminal conviction for more than 30 previous years. McElroy was acquitted. That's the preview. If you want to hear the full episode, be sure to subscribe to Dark Side of Wikipedia, wherever you download podcasts, and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.